Trust you all had a good week. The weather's warming up nice, so hey, we're almost through February. That just means one more day closer to April when it's going to be warmer, right? There you go. At least we're not a dozen, right? Well, this morning, if we go ahead and open up our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, this is something that has kind of been on my mind for the last month or so, and so bear with me as we go through this. I tried to put it together as easy enough to understand for those that are listening, so hopefully, prayerfully, it comes together. I just think I'm going to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we can meet here around your word, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we're able to serve you. And Lord, we just thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for your love and just all that you do and your watch care over us. Lord, we pray that you'd be at the services here today. Pray you'd be at the Sunday school hour. And Lord, I pray that this would be an encouragement to someone here. And Lord, I pray that you'd get me out of the way. Help me to say what you would only have said. And Lord, I pray that you'd wash me and cleanse me in your blood. And Lord, I don't deserve to be up here. And but Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. And we pray you be with those that are not able to be here this morning, Lord. Pray you just bless them. If we think of our pastor as he is away with his wife, pray that you just be with them and their services down there and just help them have a good time and be regenerated. And Lord, we thank you for him, his faithfulness and his service, Lord. And we just pray you'd watch over us here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Start off in verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So this morning I want to talk a little bit about my recent experience with, you know, not with faith, well, with faith, but with faith and trusting God. And kind of want to look at some men in the Old Testament and see if we can draw some thoughts from their experiences as well as what I went through and see what we can learn together. And kind of going to be a testimony, maybe a little Sunday. It's not really a Sunday school lesson, but more just kind of a testimony and just looking at a few different things and seeing what I went through and just a few steps along the way and see if we can glean something from that. So most of you guys all know that Dave and I went to Brazil back just over a month ago, and that trip had been in the works for about a year, not a year from about now, and we were supposed to go at the end of September, and Brazil had just opened their borders for travel, but Brother Shrouse didn't feel, you know, there was just some uncertainty about things and just the way people were still kind of there, weren't really moving about, and it was just, it didn't feel like the right time. And so we postponed it for January, thinking that this was going to be all behind us. Well, January comes, or into December comes, and Brother Shrouse, you know, was talking with Brother Dave and said, "We looking forward to having you guys come." And we weren't expecting that. And kind of in the back of my mind I don't think this is going to go, just as we got closer. But things changed, and things started coming together fast. And for the missionary, or for Brother Shrouse to be excited about it, and just like that was pretty neat, just to see the Lord's hand in it. He had sent an itinerary of what we were going to do each day. on our survey trip, and going through the itinerary, I could sense, just by reading that, I could sense his excitement for it. And that was kind of, that was an encouragement. So all that leading up to that, I, with my job, I'm trying to figure out what to do, because you know, we know the whole thing, right? Do we have to quarantine? Do we not have to quarantine? What's the process? And you know, you go to the employer and they say, well, here's a website, go to the website. Well, then you go to the website and the website directs you to the state that you work in. Well, then the state directs you to another website. So if you ever get in a chat session or a call session with somebody for asking for help, it's a circle. I call it the circle of death, because you really don't go anywhere. It's a big time waster. But that's kind of the way it goes. So I could never get an answer. And the only answer what I got was, it was just basically a recommendation that you go, you quarantine when you come back. Well, then, right before we left, a week or two before we left, we needed a test. And it's like, oh, one more thing. And then, you know, so just little things along the way. Well, at work, you know, talking with my peers about it, I decided, I was like, well, do I even say anything at work? Because I don't want word to get around, and then I get in trouble. Because if I have to quarantine, and I have to quarantine for 2 weeks, that's time off of work that I have to, if I want to get paid, I have to use my vacation time. Well, I only get so many weeks, and if I have to use that up for that, I won't have the time for the trip. So, do I not say anything? What do I do? So I decided I was just going to be straight up with my boss. I told him what I was going to do. I told him, I said, I've been researching. He goes, okay. Left it at that. I said, well, I told him, I'm going to tell you where I'm going, what I'm doing, and we can go from there. And talking to my peers, you know, a couple peers I told about, and because I was kind of on the fence, and one guy says, just go, don't worry about it. He goes, it'll all work out. He goes, it's meant to be. My sister, she goes, the Lord's opening doors, you gotta go. If it's the time is now, you have to go. And if you're not getting any pushback, why stay back? So, you know, having to go through the airport wearing a mask the whole time. My wife had just flown not that long prior, and I mean, it gets to be a drag. And but hey, it's just little things that, it's not that big a deal in the end, you know. And then when we get there, what's it gonna be like as far as the whole COVID thing? And you know, looking back on it, it really wasn't that big a deal. So all those little things along the way were trying to take my focus, or maybe change my faith a little bit about what God is trying to do. And so I was going through that and being there and things coming up, and I'm like, oh man, you know, when you hear about things starting that might come take place here in the States, and like, am I going to get back into the country? Are they going to, what's going to happen there? So you just start to worry, and you start to not get scared, but just little things like that take your mind and you start second guessing things. And so then I was thinking about this passage here, and I'm like, thinking about three guys. Well, there's three guys that came to mind. And we're going to look at them. I got Noah, Abraham, and Moses. And each one of these men's faith was tried, and through their journeys, they came to trust the Lord better. And so just a few things that, well, I kind of going to pull out of this and see. So here in verse number 7, let's start off with Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So the Lord here is telling Noah, you know, so, oh, I got ahead of myself. So here we have an account of Noah's faith. And Noah was told to build an ark, right? Let's go over and let's look at that account in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we'll pick up the story here in verse number 9. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9, the Bible says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." So Noah was a just man in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So his focus was on pleasing the Lord and all he could do for him, right? So let's just think for a moment. Let's put ourselves in Noah's shoes. And the Lord comes along and he tells us let's just say in this case, build a boat, build an ark. And you're like, build an ark for what? And the Lord says, well, I'm going to send rain. I'm going to flood. I'm going to kill all mankind. And wow, that's crazy. I've never seen rain, but it's never rained. But it's never rained before. I've never seen rain. What is that? Well, he obeyed the Lord and he built the ark. And soon after we got back from our trip, I don't know if any of you guys heard of the Sight and Sound Theater down in Branson, Missouri. They do a theater show basically and it was Noah. Well, my wife had went and seen it live at the end of, in December, and they had just released that video, not the one that she saw, but they released the video out on one of these streaming apps that we get on the TV. So we watched it. I'd never seen it before, and it's a really good production. If anybody, you guys should check it out. It's really neat. They use live animals. They do a lot of really good things, you know, and they go through the whole story, but they also bring in a lot of other elements that aren't in the Bible to say, but think of it this way. You've got Noah and his wife, his sons and their wives. And what they did was they kind of showed, they took it from another angle of the world from the city of Nod and all that. And the people, they really showed the people getting on or trying to discourage Noah and to build the ark, you know, calling him a crazy man. One of the, I forget which son it was, but they showed the wife's parents coming and trying to persuade their daughter to get off the boat. This is crazy. You're following a crazy man. This is, we're disowning you. I mean, all that. So if you're in a position where in the situation, like say you're in Noah's shoes and you're doing what God told you to do, and then you have all this adversity over here where people are trying to pull you away from that because in their mind they think what they got is the best. But you know what God has told you, and you're doing that because you're walking with God, right? Noah walked with God. So I saw that production and I thought, you know, how true is that, that there's so many things out there that are trying to take our focus off of doing what God wants us to do. And for me, leading up to that trip, there was a lot of little things that wanted to take my focus and my mind off of what we were going to do. Kind of just like not even want to go to at some points because not have to worry about all the little intricates that have to come together. And so for me, that in Noah's case, you know, just him staying true to what God told him to do, obeying God, is a true, you know, his faith was tested through all that, because I'm sure it would have been a lot easier just to say, we're not building anymore. This project has been going on forever. And I don't know, I've worked on things and sometimes it just gets old after a couple of days, but I can't imagine how many, you know, the number of years it took them to build the boat. And then all that time, the same people are coming and telling you you're crazy, telling you you're losing your mind, and that gets old after a while too, and that drags on a person and it beats them up, but he didn't give in, he stuck to it, and we know how the rest of the story goes and what happened, and so there is one man that I kind of came to mind about this things that he went through, doing what the Lord had him do. Let's go back over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go back and forth a little bit here. The next man we'll look at is talk about a little bit is Abraham. In verse number eight says, the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. So here Abraham is being called to go out of a place, or into a place, go out and into a place. But he didn't know where he was going. Yeah, but he obeyed. And it's kind of like, you know, some of us, and hopefully most of us, have asked the Lord what we can do, right? And sometimes the Lord will tell us, do this specific thing, or just kind of do this, go over this way a little bit, and just kind of hang out till I tell you what to do. And we don't know what lies ahead and stuff like that. And Abraham didn't know, but he obeyed. He obeyed. I'm going to finish reading. Let's read down through a little bit more here. By faith, and verse number 9 says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him is as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So here God tells Abraham to offer his only begotten son. And I was thinking of putting this together, thinking about it, and trying to put myself in Abraham's shoes. And I know I can't, and I pray that God never calls me through that. But I can't imagine him going through that. And just, even though Abraham knew and trusted God and knew God told him that the seed was going to come through Isaac, but also God asked him to sacrifice him. And what a good example of obedience in my mind. Let's look back over in Genesis 22. Let's read the account a little bit here. I got a little ahead of myself, but that's all right. We'll read the first 14 verses here. So, Genesis 22, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. See there, Abraham knew that him and the lad were going to come back. And but he still obeyed. Verse number 6, And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, and behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And like I said, I can't imagine the emotions that Abraham went through. His faith was already strong. He already knew that the Lord promised the seed through Isaac, and he trusted the Lord. And like I said in verse number 5, that Abraham knew God was going to take care of him and the lad, because he told the men that they would be back, that they were just going to go up and worship. And they did go up and worship. But Abraham didn't know that. Abraham trusted the Lord. This shows the Lord is continually testing our faith. He's going to have us go through things that are going to test our faith, and it's just little things along the way. And, you know, and leading up to the trip going to Brazil, there was all those little things helped me just put my faith and trust that the Lord's going to work it out. And I could say I had a feeling he was going to, but that might not be the right way to say it. But in an essence, we know that the Lord's going to take care of us. We know that what he wants us to do, it's going to work out. But there's things that we have to go through to really make that real to us in our hearts. And in this case, it's kind of the same, in my mind, kind of the same application. Even though most times we believe he's going to take care of us, he still asks us to do things that are outside of our comfort zone. In Abraham's case, this was, I got to imagine this was outside his comfort zone. Because look at what he told his son. That God was going to provide himself a lamb. And Abraham knew that God was going to take care of it. But he was also obeying God. Let's go back to Hebrews. I'm just kind of setting this up a little bit, and then I was going to more kind of go through what my little experience was, I guess. But let's just give us some men here in the Bible. Back to Hebrews 11. We'll look at Moses here. Verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come up to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here we have an account of Moses and his faith. You know, verse 23 is a good picture of his parents' faith. And it kind of brings home a little bit that the decisions that parents make can affect the faith of the children. And I personally know that to be true, and I've said it here many times, I won't stop saying it, but had my parents dropped out, to say, or had my parents showed me that their faith wasn't as strong as it is, I wouldn't be standing here today. I know myself, and I am thankful to the Lord for their continue in their faith and the decisions that they made, and that it affected me greatly. And I know there's a lot of you in here that can side with me on that. And Moses' parents didn't fear the king's commandment. They knew he was a goodly child. They saw something in him that they knew God was going to use him. And what was neat about, you know, reading through the story there a little bit, his parent hit him, you know, built a little ark there and put him in the river. And the king's commandment was to throw the babies in the river. Well, the parents hid him in the river, right where the king commanded the babies to go, right? And the Lord set that all up and orchestrated that so that the mother would still be able to raise that child until it was of age to be turned over to Pharaoh's daughter. And I was thinking about that this morning. She was rewarded for her not fearing the king's commandment. And the Lord rewarded her for that, because she still got to raise her child. She didn't get to, after 3 months, she didn't get to let her child go. She got to still raise her child. I thought that was kind of a neat little twist on the story, but not a twist, but just a little thing there. And let's go look at Exodus 3. I hope this is all making sense. I don't know. It is in my mind, I guess. But I hope I pray the Lord's using this in a way that he only can. Exodus chapter 3, we'll read the first 10 verses here. So now here Moses has killed the Egyptian, and he fled, and now he's out in the country on the backside of the desert, tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, of Midian here. So verse number 1 says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land with a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So Moses was busy doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was tending to the sheep, and that's where he was after he killed that Egyptian. And it kind of made me think a little bit. If we are too busy serving and doing what we are supposed to do, our focus can be taken away from something so much greater. If Moses was letting the sheep distract him, he may not have seen the bush on fire. Are we being too busy serving the Lord? We're doing what we're supposed to do, and we're being where we're supposed to be. But are we not looking up and still surveying the horizon, so to speak? Or are we just kind of looking around and focused on all these little things around here, and we're never going to see what's out there? And God might be standing over there and say, hey, I got something for you. Here I am. But you're over here looking. That sheep is right. Oh, yeah, that one needs a little help, you know. And just kind of meandering around. But you don't see. God's trying to get your attention way over there, and you're not seeing it. By Moses seeing the burning bush, God chose him to lead the children out of Israel out of Egypt. This is where God spoke to him and told him what to do. But if Moses didn't see that bush and didn't think, hey, that's kind of unique. I've never seen a bush burn. Never seen a bush on fire and not burn. I better go look. But if he had said, I've seen that before. We just had a lightning storm and the lightning hit that, you know. Things would be a lot different, wouldn't it? And then, Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he had chosen to suffer affliction with the people of God. So in verse number 7, the Lord says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. And because Moses chose to do right, the Lord was able to use him. The choices we make, are they for doing right and pleasing the Lord? Look at what we have seen this past year. Just think about it. Think about the people that are searching for answers. If you get out and talk to people, I talk to people every day, you know, not necessarily witnessing to them, but just in conversation, because I see people, in people's homes all the time, and just having conversation, and there's people that are searching, they're wondering, what is going on, I always kind of tell them, if you study any biblical prophecy, things have to happen in order for it to be fulfilled. And I said, think about it. I just told a lady yesterday, I said, think about this. America is still in the mindset where you ain't gonna tell us what to do. In order to be brought to the one world government, America has to be brought down. And all these things that we're going through is a step in that direction. I said, when you walk in and they want to scan your forehead, I said, you've heard of the mark of the beast, yeah? Same thing. It's either in the wrist or the forehead. It's desensitizing people. And she's like, yeah. You know, they're thinking. And that's the thing is, are we too busy doing what we're doing that we don't even need to see opportunities to help people who are searching? And if that's the case, you're going to miss the burning bush. There's no doubt about it. Or if you don't care if a bush is on fire that you've never seen burn up, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. So there's people out there searching. There's people looking for answers. And being willing just to have a little conversation with people, just to put a little bug, so to speak, in their ear, just to get them thinking, just a comment here and there. Be vigilant of that. Just be mindful that when you hear somebody talking, say something specific, you know, that you can kind of, hey, just jump on that a little bit. Give them something to think about. As we continue on in serving the Lord, things are going to happen. I try to take our focus from what the Lord has asked us to do. That's just kind of the way things go. You know, the devil wants to set things up over here to keep our minds over here. The Lord wants us to be doing what we're supposed to be doing here. He wants our focus to be here, but we've got two people that want our focus. And it's up to us to decide which way we want to look, right? So my goal today is just to share my experience of what I went through. You know, Abraham obeyed in offering his son, and the Lord took care of it. Abraham was blessed greatly for his decision to do what the Lord told him. Had these three men chosen to not stay the course God gave them and let persuasions of other men control them, they would have missed out on so much. And that's so true with us. If we would have let our friends persuade us to do what we were doing before we got saved, or if we would have let our family, and so to speak, where would we be? Where would we be? We'd be missing out on a lot, wouldn't we? We would be missing out on a lot. Noah finished the ark, and God kept his promise. Had Noah let the world get to him, he and his family would have missed the boat. Right? That was it. He would have missed the boat. That's what happened to the rest of the world. I pulled that out of that Sight and Sound thing. They did that. Had Moses not cared to check out the burning bush, he wouldn't have been used by God to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. Another thing with Moses, we can also learn, just a little side note, we can also learn from Moses that we need to wait on the Lord for his timing, though. When we rush things, it usually doesn't turn out right. And he might just put us on a shelf for 40 years. That's what he did with Moses. Moses killed that Egyptian, and he had to sit out in the wilderness for a while until the Lord was ready to use him. I could have let many things keep me from moving forward with what the Lord was directing me to do. But I needed to keep reminding myself that the Lord is in control. And also reminding myself that I was the one who asked him, what more can I do for him? And that's what so a few years ago I had asked the Lord what more I can do for him. And after that there was things that came up, and I, for one, many of you know here I'm a deacon, and I don't feel qualified. But that was after I had asked the Lord what more I could do for him. And my first response was to say no. But if I'm asking the Lord for what to do and he gives me something to do and I say no, then why would I even ask? It's kind of like if I did that with my parents, then why? What's the point, right? So, and then... So I had been asked, and the Lord has set that all up. And what was it? Oh, I was going to say. And then after that, Campaigns for Christ came along, or kind of got rolling, and I felt the Lord say, "You need to help with that." And just taking those next steps is all a result is, I mean, I could have just said no, but then what's the whole point of asking the Lord? If I go later on down the road, I ask the Lord again, "Okay, Lord, what do you want more for me to do?" Well, he's like, "Well, I already told you what to do. You're not doing it. Why should I tell you anymore?" If I did that with my dad or my mom, and I didn't do what they had asked me to do, and then down the road I want them that to help me in some other thing, what would incentivize them to help me with that if I didn't even do what they had asked me to do before? And it's kind of the same principle with the Lord. So back to what my notes here. Remembering I was the one who asked him what more I can do for him. So if things open up for you, do you remember, did you ask the Lord for help? Did you ask the Lord to allow you to do more? Something to keep in mind. Had I allowed myself to be focused on all the things that could have gone wrong, now I'm talking about the trip, Brazil, I would have missed out on seeing and being a part of an encouragement to a missionary family. When we left, we were only there for a week, just over a week with the family. And when we left, I had felt I had been there for months. The connection that we had with them and the kids, it was kind of funny. We were standing in the kitchen our first day there, and they got, I don't know, three or four little boys. And Dave's in the corner by the wall, and they're just like this, and he goes, it was kind of funny, just looking at him. And Brother Schrauss goes, "Brother, they haven't seen an American in a while." But we were walking to pizza one night, and all of a sudden I'm just walking down the street with, you know, we're all together, and all of a sudden I feel something grab my hand while I look, and it's the one of the little boys. He's got to hold my hand, and he held my hand, he sat on my lap. It just a quick connection there. I mean, they were so thrilled to have us, to be an encouragement. Encouragement to a church family. The church there reminds me a lot of our church. A lot of different age groups, a lot of people involved. And, you know, with COVID and all that, we didn't get to see the whole church together. But their church all together would be very similar to our size, which is a blessing. I wouldn't have seen 1,500 chick tracks go out in less than 45 minutes. And that was when, that day was the day after that they closed restaurants and stores. Well, they didn't close them, but you couldn't go in anymore. I mean, you could do takeout. In the stores, you weren't allowed to freely go in and out. So the foot traffic was like way down. We were able to do cars. They come to the red light, you get in there, and you roll their window down, you could get them out. We did that, 1,500 tracks, and they were gone in like 45 minutes. I wouldn't have seen the joy on people's faces when nine people got saved. When we were in, Brother Joel Dare, he was through here a few years ago, and he's a missionary. Him and his wife are missionaries in a town called Itajubá, and they're about an hour from Pouso Alegre, where Brother Schrauss is, and he's just starting to work there. They just moved to that town about 2 months ago, and so he had been driving that hour and a half each way every week to minister in that city. So we went over and visited him, and we looked at that city to see how we could work it and find a meeting place and stuff like that. And so we did go spend an afternoon, and we went down and passed out tracts and found a place to eat and stuff like that. And in the meantime, one of us gave a chick tract to a lady. When I looked, and that lady was talking to Brother Schrauss a little bit later, and Come to find out, she ended up getting saved right there. But she had gotten one of them before. And she knew that she knew about the church that Brother Dare had already kind of set up. But she goes, I've been going over there, and the doors have been closed, and no one's been there. Well, Brazilians are kind of, they're not very like, oh, let's go check the door to see if it's open. They're kind of reserved that way, you know. So even though he was there, she didn't think to really check the door to see if it was open. So they missed each other, but it took took somebody for like us being there at that time. She was there, giving her a track. I talked to Brother Charles. He led her to the Lord, met Brother Dare, and if I remember right, she's still going and meeting with Brother Dare. And I would have missed out on that. I would have missed out on that. I would have also missed out on seeing the Lord answer prayers of you guys. That's what kept us going. That's what made this all possible. One thing I realized is that no matter what the Lord would have you do, there's going to be obstacles and things that happen along the way to help build your faith. When we were there, partway through the week, word came down that they're going to start making you have a negative test to re-enter America. Well, then you start, oh man, how's that going to work? And are they not going to understand when not going to let us back in? So all that stuff running through your mind. And finally I said, stop. If it's the Lord's will, it's going to work out. Stop worrying about it. Go and enjoy the experience and do what God has you do and stay focused. Don't let that stuff over there distract you. And once I did that, it was all fine. And all them little things just help build your faith. If it's God's will and you have a willing heart, it's going to work out, right? Looking back, I'm glad I didn't allow minor things to keep me from pressing forward with God's plan. And like I said earlier, people are searching. People are searching. There's a lot to do. And what's keeping me from doing more? And I can't help but say it right now, considering what's just has been going on but through the last year, but vaccine. I had this conversation yesterday with a customer. We were talking about the vaccine and stuff, and I've come to the point as if it becomes mandatory to travel, then if I'm going to continue on doing what I'm doing, then that's what I need to do. You know, I had a person tell me a couple weeks ago, she's a school teacher, and she said, I don't know what her faith was or not, I didn't ask her, but she said, if I meant to die, I meant to die. And I'm like, that's pretty humbling. And here I am going to say, well, I don't want that because of who knows what, right? But yet, who am I to say, if I want to be used for the Lord, who am I to say no to things that, in the end, I'm still God's. If God wants to keep me alive and help and allow me to do what I'm supposed to do, or if he wants to take me home, that's his decision. But am I willing to be the vessel for his use? And am I going to, you know, I didn't want to go. I wasn't excited in the essence to go to Brazil because I'd have to wear a mask the whole time from the minute I got out of my car at the airport to the minute I got picked up. And we had a 10-hour flight from Houston. So it was a long time. But what's the next thing to come down the pipe? Is that going to keep you from? There's always going to be something. There's always going to be something. If you don't believe me, look back the last 20 years and see what there's been to keep your mind in focus off of God. There's always something. What are you going to allow? What are you going to allow to control you? You're God's. You gave yourself over to God. Let him take care of it. John 4:35 says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." There's people ready. There's people there. There's people that are searching. There's people that want answers. Are you ready? Are you willing to go? Are you looking? Kind of like Moses, if he hadn't been looking, he wouldn't have seen that bush on fire. Luke 10:2 says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his rest." I'm not here trying to get you to sign up for campaigns. That's not my goal today. But I just want to let you know that you're not alone when sometimes it seems so much easier to kind of kick back and enjoy our cushy lifestyle than to take a leap of faith into something that we aren't so sure about. And it's a struggle. Everybody goes through it. I know, because I do. And I'm not any better than the next person. But if I struggle with it, I can only imagine you, other people struggle with it. And remember, God's always in control. God's in control. Are we going to let him be in control? Taking that next step outside our comfort zone is going to strengthen your faith. You're going to see the Lord do things you never would have seen sitting in your lazy boy. And many of us in here have been on mission trips, and you know firsthand of the things that you saw that only the Lord could orchestrate. And if you had stayed home, or if you had some other reason to not go, you wouldn't have seen that. And because you saw that, your faith and trust was greater in the Lord, because you've seen him do something that only he could do. Only he could orchestrate it and set it up. And that's what I'm saying is, it's a lot of times it seems easier just to kind of kick back, say, I'm just going to stay here, do what I do, and just kind of coast. But in the end, where does that get you? It doesn't really get you anywhere. I kind of have this phrase. I use it a lot at work with when people ask me about certain things, why people do the way they do it. And it's as simple as this. If there's a will, there's a way. If I have a will to do something, then there's a way to do it. If I don't care, I ain't going to do it. I mean, if there's a will, there's a way. Let's look back at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll read verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Having faith doesn't stop with trusting the Lord with your soul. We all had faith to believe that he died for us, so we asked him to save us, right? But it doesn't stop there. And to please, like it says here, to please the Lord, you need to have faith. You need to have faith. You believe him already for who he is, right? So why not believe him and trust him to take care of you? As the verse says, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are we diligently seeking him? If not, we're going to miss out on so much. We're going to miss out on so much. Are we diligently seeking him? And so today I hope this was just an encouragement. My personal experience about little steps along the way with our survey trip. I'm looking forward to going back. The Mexico trip is coming up here in a couple months, and things that I went through with Brazil, going to Brazil, are kind of helped smooth things over with the Mexico. We're still a lot up in the air that we don't know yet, but God's going to work it out, and we need to be ready to move when God says move. And when God said move with the survey trip to Brazil, we had to be ready. And things happened so fast that it was only of God. I'll tell you a real quick story. When we might have already said this, but when we went and met with one of the city leaders that was in charge of all the parks in Pouso Alegre, we didn't know what the conversation was, but after we were done, the Brother Strauss says, you know, that he's going to help us in any way he can. If you need sound equipment, because we're going to have a meeting outside in the park, you need a stage, you need sound equipment, just let us know. We'll get it, no cost. He said, we need more people, but we need more of God in this country in this day and age. So we're willing to help you with whatever you need help. When we were in Itajubá, we had a meeting with the guy there, and the mayor came in, of the city came in to meet with the school teachers, and then they got talking. Well, he came in and told us in his English that he was happy to have us in the city and that he'd help us in any way we can. You can't just say that's a coincidence. You know, that's God. That's God. That's just God orchestrating things in a way that only he can get the glory for. So I hope that was an encouragement to you. If anybody wants a title, I titled it My Faith. But it was just kind of a little personal story, and just looking at a few guys and throughout the Bible that in the Old Testament, that kind of just put yourself in their shoes for a little bit, think of what they had to go through, and compare it to what you're going through, and it's probably not as bad as what they had to endure. So, all right, we'll go ahead and take a break. Let's close in prayer real quick.